friend.
Whoever wants to give the money, the soldier, as you can say, money must come from.
He must come from.
To the oyster.
I have a friend.
Was it true?
He's being sued in small claims court by a neighbor of his. And apparently, although I'm a lawyer, I didn't know this, if you get sued in small claims court, they don't have to tell you why they're suing you. So, my friend is somewhat concerned because he doesn't know the nature or the scope of the claim. He doesn't know the potential damage, although the judgment can't be that high, it's in small claims court. But more importantly, he doesn't know how to prepare for his day in court. In 2 days, we're all going to court. But it's not small claims court. And everything is hanging in the balance. We have to prepare. And to prepare, we have to know the scope of Hashem's judgment. We had the month to prepare. But if we don't understand what we're preparing for, we come in with an empty folder. So tonight, I want to explain, or try to explain, the consequences of our actions and how our Kodesh Baruch Hu evaluates those actions. Tonight, I want to discuss the Din V'Cheshbon that we're going to be giving on Rosh Hashanah. The Din V'Cheshbon as a concept really doesn't make sense. If you think about the words, it should be Cheshbon and Din. Calculate what was done and then apply the Din. Din V'Cheshbon sounds like the old Russian courts. Here's your sentence, now let's figure out your crime. You're going to Siberia for a number of years and now we'll do it. That's kangaroo courts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chosoma Emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truth. So we're left perplexed by this concept of Din V'Cheshbon. Again, the order seems to be reversed. What then is the scope of Hashem's judgment? Because of this problem of Din V'Cheshbon, for example, the Medrash Shmuel comes up with a novel idea. He says, well, it can't be Din and then a Cheshbon. So he says that La'achar Me'av Esrim Shana, after 120 years, person goes up to the Shemayim, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu teaches them the Dinim. He says, okay, let's open up. Shmir Shabbos, let's look, we'll read the Mishnah Berurah, Shmir Shabbos, Riviyat, make it easy for you, and now let's go to the videotape, and here's your life. Now you, I did the din, says Hashem, I taught you the dinim, you judge yourself. Here's the Cheshbon. Were you allowed to do that? Were you allowed to do that? Was that permissible? Was that permissible? Let's read the Chafetz Chaim, Sefer Lashon Hara. Could you say this? Could you say this? You're doing the din on yourself. Din is the limud adinim, and the cheshbon is the application of those limud adinim by you to your life. He says there's an example of this. Won't even address you. In Navi, David HaMelech comes along, and he takes Bathsheba. So Nasan HaNavi comes to him and says, David, let me ask you the following question. If you steal a sheep, steals a sheep from a pauper, and he takes his one sheep, what would be the halacha? He says, Ben Mavasa Isha Zeh. He paskin. Nosan Anavi says, Ata Ha'ish. You're the person. That's what's going to be La'asu Lava. That's because the Medrash Shmuel is perplexed. He says, what else could Din V'Cheshbon mean? That only helps La'achar Me'av Esrim Shana. What about on an annual basis? So we're going to see that there are other interpretations of Din V'Cheshbon, and that's going to be the primary focus of tonight's shir. But before we do that, let's pose a number of questions. If you take a look in Mar Mokum number 3, the Gemara in Chagiga is very puzzling. In the underlying section it says, Kolecha ve'echad yeshno shnei chalakim. Every human being has two chalakim. One in Gan Eden, echad b'Gan Eden, ve'echad b'Gehenim. Zochet tzadek, the tzadek who's worthy, notol chelko, he gets his chalak in Gan Eden. The chalak chaveru b'Gan Eden, and he gets his friend's share in Gan Eden also. Not bad. Nishchay of Rasha, notol chelko, v'chalak chaveru b'Gehenim. The Rasha takes his chalak in Gehenim, and somebody else's. Now, we've all heard about the concept of a tzaddik getting punished in this world so that he doesn't have to go to Gehenna in the next world. And we've also heard the problem of a Rasha who's being rewarded in this world so he doesn't get to go to Gan Eden in the next world. But once somebody has a chelik in Gan Eden, Mr. Rasha has a chelik in Gan Eden, it's his. How could the tzaddik take it away from him? And if the tzaddik earned the chelik of Gehenna, how come it goes to somebody else? This doesn't seem to be fair. What does the Gemara mean? Mar Mokum number 4. This is the Tfilah Zaka, the Vidui of Rav Nissen Gon. Rabbeinu Nissen, it's in some of the Machzorim. Ribono Shel Olam, Lo al atzmi b'lvad ani misfalel misvada. Not only am I davening and being misvada, saying vidui in the conclusion of my tshuva, ki im ba'adi uva'ad kahalecha ha'omdim lefanecha. Not only am I doing vidui for myself, I'm doing vidui for everybody else who's around me. Wait a second, tshuva is a personal mitzvah. Vidui is personal. I am misvada for my own sins. How can you do vidui for somebody else's sins? Why would you do vidui for somebody else's sins? How could it possibly help? He has to do tshuva for his averis. I have to do tshuva for my averis. Why would I being misvada on somebody else? I've got my own problems. I can't worry about yours. What's going on here? What is this vidui? Take a look at Maror Makom number 5. We'll just read the top line. Kol she'eino meniach ben liyorsho. If somebody doesn't leave over a child from whom to inherit from him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malei Alav Evra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is filled. Are you looking for Maror Makom?
Yeah.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is filled with wrath. If somebody doesn't have children to inherit him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. Who holds the key to life? Who holds the key to whether or not a couple is going to have children? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you didn't bless that family, that husband and wife with children, and you're angry at them? How could it be? That's the simple understanding of the Gemara. Maror Makom number 6. This is the famous Rambam. Rambam takes a very literalistic view on mitzvahs and averos. Just talking about it, we're going to ignore the qualitative component of mitzvahs. But we're going to say, just quantitatively, the Rambam says, if you have 51 mitzvahs and 49 averos, you win, you're a tzaddik. If you have 51 averos and 49 mitzvahs, you're a rasha. And who's the Beinoni? Tie, 50-50. What happens to the Beinoni? So we all know, and again, Maror Makom number 6, right in the middle of the second line, V'ha Beinoni tolen oso ad Yom Kippurim, im asa tshuva nechtam l'chayim, v'im lav nechtam l'misa. So the Rambam says, the Beinoni gets suspended sentence. We wait until Yom Kippur. If he does tshuva, he'll be a tzaddik. And if not, he'll be inscribed in the other book. So everybody asks the question, according to the way the Rambam looks, which is a very accountant-like approach, what should he do? If you knew that you were 50-50, so, and you, in other words, you're an average person, do one mitzvah and go to sleep. Take a nice long siesta and just do one more mitzvah than Avera. And then when they reevaluate the scale, so then you're 16-50, 51-50. All you have to do is one more mitzvah, because the Rambam says, if you win by one, you're a tzaddik. Why is it that the Rambam says, no, you've got to do tshuva? And lastly, for now, in Parshas Re'eh, the Pasuk says, Re'eh Anochi Nosing Lefnechem Hayom Brachu Klala. It's not in the sheets, I don't think. I'll call out the numbers when it's relevant. Re'eh Anochi Nosing Lefnechem Hayom Brachu Klala. Behold, I give you Bechir Chofshes. And the consequences of your actions are blessing or non-blessing into the world. And then yet, in today's Parsha, the Pasuk seems very similar, but with a profound deviation. Re'eh Nasati Lefnechem Hayom Esachayim Ve'esatov. The Eshamavis. Something happened. In the near distance of a couple of prakim, the consequences of our choices changed. It used to be the consequence of my choice is going to be either bracha and klala in the world. And now, it's chayim and mavis. What has happened between Parshas Re'eh and Parshas Netzavim to magnify the consequences of our activities, of our choices? Let's go back to Din V'Cheshbon. There are two major approaches to explain the phenomenon of Din V'Cheshbon. The first is that of the Vilna Gaon, the Gra. He says, Din is on what you did. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes out and evaluates everything that you did. And Cheshbon is on your opportunity. At the same time. And it works both ways. In other words, a person did an Avera, and at that time he could have done a mitzvah. So the Din is, hey, you did an Avera, that's bad. That's demerit number one. Also, you missed the opportunity to do a mitzvah, that's demerit number two. Let me show you an example of that. Not in the sheets. We're going to skip because I don't want to keep you here all night. The Pasuk says by Moshe, it says Moshe was told to speak to the rock. Why was Moshe told to speak to the rock? So the Chassam Sofer explains he was told to speak to the rock to show Klal Yisrael the Koach HaDibur, that you can speak to an inanimate object and from rock will come water. To teach Bnei Yisrael the Koach HaTfila, the Koach of Lashon Hara, so that it would stop that. It would enhance our tefillahs and make us not speaking Lashon Hara. Moshe didn't listen. He hit the rock. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu castigates him and he says, you're being punished. Al asher ma'altem bi b'sof b'nei Yisrael. Ma'altem bi. You didn't listen to what I said. Al asher lo kitash demosi b'sof b'nei Yisrael. And you didn't sanctify my name. The Meshech Chochma says the Pasuk is saying two things. Moshe did one crime. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu castigating him two things? Says the Meshech Chochma, that's the yisod of the Gra. The din is on what he did. Did Moshe listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? No. Al asher ma'altem bi. But he also missed the opportunity to teach Klal Yisrael a tremendous lesson. The lesson of the power of speech. Al asher lo kidashtem osi b'tzoch b'nei Yisrael. That is also. The din is that in fact you didn't listen to me. The cheshbon is on what you missed, the missed opportunity. It works both ways. A person does an aveira, a person does a mitzvah, so he gets a check mark for the mitzvah. And at the same time he could have done an aveira, and he didn't do it, he gets a second check for that. This then explains the order of din v'cheshbon. It's not a calculation that's done after the din, but it's two parts of the same judgment. The din is on what you did, and then there's a second phenomenon, a second examination. The cheshbon is on not only the action, but on the opportunity. Let's go back to that Rambam. The Rambam says if a person does 50 mitzvahs and 50 aveiros, he's got to do tshuva. Why? So the Rambam we read, I want to offer three suggestions, which are brought down in the Svarim. The Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz brings it down. The Rambam's lashon was tolan also, and we said that means it's a suspended sentence. Tolan also means hang. Says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, we're under a basic misconception. We think we're muchsuk on life. We think we're owed life. We're sort of on cruise control. I've been living for the last 40 some odd years, so mastama, I'm going to keep on living until I forfeit my life. That's wrong. A person has to earn life itself. That means everything that we're given on Rosh Hashanah, everything we think our parnasa, life itself is given out, it's doled out again on Rosh Hashanah. On the beginning of the year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines yes to live or no to live, and we have to earn it. And if we don't earn it, so then you're not inscribed in the book of life. Therefore, what the Rambam is telling you is the following. A person comes in, and he's deemed to be a tzaddik. He's earned life. Hashem inscribes him in the book of life. The Rasha didn't earn life, clearly, so he's inscribed in the other book. What about the Beinoni? Did he earn life? No, he's 50-50. It doesn't come to you. You have to be a tzaddik to get life. He didn't earn it. Take him up to the gallows. Tolan also. You put him in the electric chair. You put him on the gallows. You put him up on the scaffold, and you take the string, the cord, the rope, and you wrap it around his neck, and you pull it tight. So how's he going to get off? So he needs the pardon from the governor. What's going to prompt the governor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to call and say, let him down, get him out of the chair? So not just a regular mitzvah. To get somebody who deserves not to live off the chair, you need something magnificent. That's tshuva. Tshuva is such a magnificent act that it inspires HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol to call up and say, take him down. That's why the Rambam says you need to do tshuva. That's answer number one. We didn't understand the Rambam because we have a basic misconception about life itself. For those of you who are shaken about that, so let's take a look at an easier answer that the accountants will love. What is Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is an accounting for last year. So a person did 50 mitzvahs and 50 aveiros. Now he decides, I'm turning my life around, Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to do 1,000 mitzvahs in the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, how did I do? And Hashem says, well, let's see. You have 50 mitzvahs and 50 aveiros. He says, no, I did 1,000 mitzvahs just now. I'm not eating pasakum, and I'm getting up in the morning, and I'm going to shul, and I'm going to minyan, and I'm quiet. I'm doing wonderful things. And Hashem says, that's wonderful. That's on next year's cheshbon. But now the judgment is on last year's cheshbon. The book's closed. No mitzvah that you do after Rosh Hashanah can affect last year because it's last year's cheshbon. You're capped. You did 50 mitzvahs, that's it. You can't do any more for last year. So there's no eitzah. There's one eitzah. You have to get rid of the averos. You're 50-50, but there's one eitzah, says the Rambam. You can't add to the 50 mitzvahs, but you can get rid of the averos one by one. 49, 48, 47, 3, 2, 1, and it can be 50-0. That's why the Rambam says you got to do tshuva, because there's no eitzah. There's no other eitzah. And the third answer for the Rambam is based upon the Gra. We say in Maromokum number 10, the Gemara tells us on the second page, Dirshu Hashem behimatza'o. Seek out Hashem when He makes Himself close. Eilu asara yomim shebein Rosh Hashanah li Yom Kippurim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes close to us between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He makes Himself available to us on Rosh Hashanah between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Take a look at the very top of that page. On the top of the page where it's underlined, it says, V'zeu musar gadol. La'achar Yom Kippurim m'lo shavu. Says the Meshech Chachma, it's a tremendous musar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and makes Himself available to you to say, He's coming and He's saying, I want to wash off your neshamas. I want to take away the averas. I'm here. And what happens if a person doesn't do tshuva? Then the cheshbon, the calculation of not doing tshuva, far exceeds any potential mitzvah. Because it was so easy to do tshuva during that Aseres Yemei Tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stood ready to rip up all the evil decrees. Afilu b'yachad, etc. Says the Meshech Chachma in explaining this, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes close, He stands ready. The avera of not doing tshuva far exceeds any potential mitzvahs that you do. Let me explain. There's a fascinating Gemara. I don't want to keep you here, so it's Mar Mokum number 11. It talks about Rav Zeira. Starts with Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira had a practice that if somebody insulted him, if somebody aggrieved him in any way, so instead of waiting for that person to come to his house, he went to that person's house, made himself available so that the person could ask him for mechila. He went to the person so that the person should they should be mefayis each other. Where did he get this minhag? From what? From Hashem, v'halakta b'drachav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So Mastama, he took a look. He says, we aggrieve Hashem all year long, and now Hashem comes to us so that we can ask Him for mechila. So he's copying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beautiful. So the Gemara says, Rav had the same practice. Apparently Rav had an argument with some butcher. So what had happened? It's Erev Yom Kippur, and we know the Minhag Yisrael is to get everything done by Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur, the butcher still didn't come to him. So Rav starts walking. He said, I'm going to the butcher. I'll go to make myself available to the butcher. So he bumps into Rav Huna on the way, and Rav Huna says, hey Rav, where are you going? It's Erev Yom Kippur. He says, I have a little problem with the butcher. I'm going to go see if we can rectify it. So Rav Huna exclaims, Mustami didn't say it to Rav, or Rav didn't pay attention to it. He says, oh, Rav is going to kill the butcher. Rav goes and walks into the butcher shop. This butcher obviously was not such a nice guy. He looks up as he's chopping. He's chopping meat. He talks about a head of an animal. He's got that cleaver, and he's going like this. He looks up and he says, Abba, which was Rav's name. Abba, out. I have nothing to say to you. At that moment, he chops down. He cracks a bone. The bone ricochets, hits him in the head, and he dies. It's clear. It's not funny. It's clear. Very sensitive souls. It's clear. It's beautiful. It's clear that he died not because of the avera that he originally had to fight. It's clear that Rav Huna told you, Rav is going to kill him. What happened? Rav is making himself available and making it easy for the butcher to do tshuva, and he's not availing himself of that opportunity that magnified the avera to the extent that it went from a regular avera to a chiyuv misa. We come to a better understanding. Dirshu Hashem behimatza'o is not an eitzah tova. It's not a good idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not telling you, you know what, during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, you better do tshuva because you should do tshuva because I'm here, it's so easy. It's Dirshu Hashem behimatza'o. You better do tshuva. I'm coming now to make it easy for you. If you don't avail yourself of it, it magnifies all of your sins. And now we can understand what the Rambam is telling us. A Beinoni has to do tshuva because if he does 1,000 mitzvahs during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, it doesn't help. You know why it doesn't help? It doesn't help because the avera of not doing tshuva will far exceed it. Rav Yosef Salant, I believe Rabbi Haber pointed this out in Shul, and that's where I heard it first, says the following. He says, there's a mitzvah on Yom Kippur to bring two se'irim, and they have to be virtually identical twins. They don't have to be related, but they have to look alike, they have to be the same color, the same eyes. If you were a maven, you'd have to be able to say, you know what, those are very, very close in appearance. And we take these two animals that are close in appearance, and they have such a dramatically different end. One becomes Kodesh Kedoshim. It goes into the holiest of holies. Nothing can get in there except Aaron a Kohen on one day a year. And that animal gets in, and the other one goes Lazazel, to Gehenna. How could two animals start off exactly the same and end up in such diametrically different places? Says Rav Yosef Salant, that's Yom Kippur. You can have two people that are exactly the same. They did the same mitzvahs, the same averus. They're virtually identical. They're indistinguishable to us. And they go through a Yom Kippur, and one turns his life around as Kodesh Kadoshim, and the other one is Lazazel. Because tshuva and the opportunity to tshuva will turn you in one direction or the other. And this then explains the pasuk in Nitzavim. The Meshech Chachma tells us that originally the consequences of my decision were bracha and klala. But then, in today's parsha, it says, ki ha-mitzvah azoz. The mitzvah of tshuva was introduced. So yes, originally there was bechira, and the consequence of my determination of doing good or bad brought bracha and klala into the world. But then I have tshuva. And if I don't avail myself of tshuva, or I do avail myself of tshuva, so then what happens? Chayim es amavis. Everything hangs in the balance, determined upon whether or not you're going to do tshuva. That's din v'cheshvan of the Gra. But really, there's a deeper interpretation of this, a deeper understanding which has broader implications. It's a question of developing potential. The din that we all face is on what you've done, what you've accomplished, what you are, what you've become. And the cheshbon is on what you could have done, what you could have been, and what you could have accomplished. It's a question of realization of potential. Everyone here is sent with certain mission and certain potential. All the kalim that we need to fulfill our mission. We could be wonderful people and still not fulfill our mission. Din on what you did. Cheshbon. Wonderful. Nice. From. You go to shiurim. You give tzedaka. But you could have been what they had intended for you. You're not that. This is in our davening. Take a look at Maror Mokum number 13. In Zichronos, in the Musaf, we say, Mi lo nifkad kayom hazeh, ki zeichu kol yitzur lefanecha ba. Masa ish, the din, what you did, ufkuda so, and your charge, your pekida, your mission. We're going to evaluate your maisim, and also your maisim vis-a-vis your charge. In Maror Mokum number 14, Elokai, Achelonitzarti, Eni Kidei, Vashashinitzarti, Kilonitzarti. Rav Kook explains that I have my particular mission. So if my mission, if I'm born in this generation, obviously my mission is meant for this generation. Had I been born into a different generation, of course I couldn't fulfill my potential because my mission is meant for this generation. What we're crying about and what we're being misvada is, it's not bad enough. Had I been born into a different generation, I couldn't fulfill my potential, but I'm born in the right generation and I'm still not fulfilling my potential. That's what that pshat is. And finally, in the Ilah, after a full day of banging on our chests, Al-Khait, 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 with the entire Vidri, we come to the Ilah and the Al-Khaits are missing. We end up with Laman Nechtal Mioshek Yadenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're being misvada on thievery. I'm being ganovim. Now, without looking around the room, I would say that most people here think that they're not ganavim. Not everybody here is cheating on taxes. Not everybody here is cheating on business. Not everybody is stealing. But that's it? That's what we're down to? That's the only thing that's left? Just for the handful of people who make it into the papers, unfortunately? Those are the ones that we have to be mizvada for? Says the Chiddush Yerim, no. All Yom Kippur, we've been dealing on the din, not the cheshbon part, the din. Al-Khait, Al-Khait, I spoke Lashon Hara, I did this, I did this, I did this, I knocked it all off. Now we're done with the din. We did all the averus, all of our actions have been taken care of. Now we have to deal with the theft from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us here with a mission and He gives us all sorts of things, starting with life, and parnasa, and a house, and our family, and every bracha that we potentially have, our health. He gives that all to us so that we can fulfill our mission. If we didn't fulfill our mission, then we're stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because He gave it to us for a reason. Not to fritter away, not to waste. So after we did the tshuva on every single din, every single action, then we have to do tshuva on theft from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'man nechtal me'oshek yadeinu. So din v'cheshbon involves judgment on our actions and our inactions, on our opportunities and our wasted opportunities. And ultimately, the difference between our potential and the reality. How far are the consequences of wasted potential, of missed opportunities? There's a Gemara in Chagiga, I brought it down, I'm not going to read it. It talks about a Kodesh Baruch Hu crying 3 days. My Rebbe gives an interpretation that not everybody agrees with. But basically, everybody agrees with that a Kaddish Baruch Hu cries three times. Kaddish Baruch Hu is crying every day, three times. Two of the times are for misplaced people. People who have chosen a way of life which will of necessity mean that they will not develop their potential. They've decided to go in this Mahalach HaChaim instead of the Mahalach HaChaim that they were really destined for. Or they were destined for this Mahalach HaChaim and they chose that Mahalach HaChaim. And that means that Kaddish Baruch Hu cries every day because he knows, by virtue of that choice, you'll never develop your potential. That's the Gruz interpretation of Din B'Cheshbon. But there's a different interpretation of Din B'Cheshbon. It's the Beis HaLevi. Basically, Beis HaLevi says, Din is on your actions, and Cheshbon is on your effect on others. He learns the Pasuk, Shuvi Yisrael ki chashalta ba'avonecha. The Pasuk sounds funny. Do tshuva, because you have tripped over your aveira. No, it should say you tripped, you stumbled, and sinned. It doesn't say you stumbled and sinned. It says you stumbled over your aveira. So he says that's the concept of aveira, goreres aveira. When a person does an aveira, so it makes it more likely that he's going to do another aveira. Says the Beis HaLevi, not only that, when you do an aveira, it's also more likely that other people will do an aveira. So let's analyze this. We'll break it into three components. Number one, direct. I did an aveira, and it's going to directly affect somebody else. I'm going to speak Lashon Hara to Yossi. He doesn't want to hear Lashon Hara, but he's now heard Lashon Hara. I did the aveira of speaking Lashon Hara. He did the aveira of hearing Lashon Hara. Al pi din, I get a demerit, and he gets a demerit. Now's the Cheshbon. I spoke Lashon Hara. If I had not spoken Lashon Hara, he would not have heard Lashon Hara. The Cheshbon is that I get a chelak of his hearing. When it's written down, you spoke Lashon Hara and you heard Lashon Hara. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. You spoke Lashon Hara, you caused somebody else to hear Lashon Hara. That's a direct effect on somebody else. You have a chelak in that aveira. I said a shir. You heard a shir. I gave tzedakah. Somebody else was able to eat. I had a yontif meal. I get an effect in that. It's a direct effect. It works both. We always talk about the negative. Get told a lot. Try to spin it positively. Okay? Emes Adin is not such an easy thing to spin positively, but we'll try. Okay? So there's a direct effect. It always works. You have a cheshbon in everything. I give somebody challah so that they can wash on Shabbos. I give them chicken so that they can eat. The chelik in the mitzvah. What about an indirect effect? Says the Beis HaLevi. Okay, there's also indirect. For example, we all know that people are just generally lemmings. People are followers. Therefore, somebody does an aveira b'farhesia. Somebody's sitting in shul and is talking. Somebody is sitting and talking during Kriyas HaTorah. Somebody is joking around during a shir. All these things create an atmosphere which desensitizes, lowers the community standard. So therefore, it influences somebody else who's wavering. Well, everybody's talking, I can talk too. You have a cheshbon in that too. Your talking, which has affected your shul, is going to be in your cheshbon. They're going to come in and say, what are you talking about? So I spoke a few times during Kriyas HaTorah. Now you're telling me that the whole shul is averus on my... Yeah. Din is on what you did, and the cheshbon is your effect on everybody else. The lowering of the community standards is a problem that you're going to have to deal with as well. Now it takes a look. There's a new phenomenon. Cell phones. I don't think 5 years ago cell phones were so popular. Now I go into a shul, it says no cell phones. Shut off your cell phones. I bought a new talus bag, a plastic cover. It has a cell phone with a red line across it. What's going on is because people have become insane. People are going in and we're davening. And people understand, it's so tragic, the neighborhood, the community. I grew up in this community. This year has been so terrible. People don't understand why we're davening so hard. We're davening so hard. If I had a cell phone on me, Baruch Hashem, I'm smart enough not to bring a cell phone along with me to something like this. If I had a cell phone on me, I'd drop it on the floor, smash it down, pick it up in the pieces, and say, now use it. You have an important phone call to make? Make it. It's in pieces. This is our makom tefillah. This is our shul. This is the vehicle by which we speak to our Kaddish Baruch Hu. So you trafe it up with Lashon Hara. You speak in shul, and then you want to use that phone, and you think it's going to connect? You're out of your mind. People bring cell phones into shul. It goes. I go to work in the middle of the day. People are doing the BlackBerry is beeping. Everything is beeping around me. I feel like I'm in a computer when I'm davening. People have lost their minds. They don't understand. Why is God not listening to my tefillah? A Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Ma'at. Do you think really they're going to let you into the Beis HaMikdash HaGadol with your cell phone? You think as they're doing the shrit that somebody's cell phone's going to go off? They're going to allow that? Instead of cutting off the head of the animal, they cut your head off. People who are doing this are lowering their community standards. Din v'cheshbon, and they'll have a chelek, not only on what they did, but their effect on everybody else. Says the Maharil, we read the words, da'alef ne mi'ata osid litein din v'cheshbon. He says, we put the comma in the wrong place. We don't have a comma. Da'alef ne mi'ata lifnei. It shouldn't be lifnei, it should be l'mi. Before whom I'm going to do the din v'cheshbon, Kaviyachol Hashem is sitting here, and I'm going to give the din v'cheshbon over here. No, I give the din v'cheshbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, that's not the point. Da'alef ne mi'ata, comma. Know when you're sinning or doing a mitzvah, know who you're standing in front of. Because you're going to influence them. After asid litein din v'cheshbon. And you're going to have a din v'cheshbon on that too. On your influence on other people. That's pretty bad. But let me tell you what the Beis HaLevi, I'm going to even show you what the Beis HaLevi says. In Maariv Makom number 17, at the beginning of the next page. The Beis HaLevi says the cheshbon goes further than that. It's not only on your direct effect on others, it's not only on your indirect effect on others, it's on a metaphysical effect on others and the entire world as well. This is the Beis HaLevi. A classic Litvisha Rav. We're not talking about a Hasidisha Rebbe, and we're not talking about a Mekubal. We're talking about the Beis HaLevi in the Sefer Al HaTorah. And he says the following. The Pasuk says, Vayar lakim es ha'aretz v'hinei neshchas in the Dor HaMabul. Hashem looked at the land and the land itself was corrupted. The land itself became corrupted. How could the land become corrupted? We take a look and we see that the animals were mating outside of their species. What had happened? The generation of Noah, there was rampant arayas, and that somehow corrupted the entire world. Says the Beis HaLevi at the very top of the page. Raka Inyan. The Kamoda Adam Paul Ba'atmo al Yadeh Hargelo B'masiv Haron. Va'osu Ba'atmo Teva Shnia Lios Tivo Mishtokek. Just like we know, if a person conditions himself to do a particular avera, he changes his very nature to make it just more and more likely that he will sin. Even if he understands that it's not good, like smoking. A person starts to smoke once, twice. He understands. He can read the Surgeon General. It's a bad idea, but it's too late. He smokes. With averas. Going on and on. That's the way the world was created. So that's the way a person can affect himself. When you do something, you affect the entire world. I'm not talking about what we call the indirect influence, the lowering of the community standards. If he sinned in public, of course, that's a davar poshut. When a guy is talking during davening, making leitzanos during shiurim, something like that, that's going to affect everybody around him. He's eating a cheeseburger in his bedroom. Nobody can see. Mikol makom al yedei hemshechu achar ezu taiva hu magbir kocha shel hataiva halazu ad shemashir seze beteva shel kol abruim ubahaolam lios tivam nimshach lezeh yoser imashahaya mikodem. When you do that aveira, you check, just like you change your own nature, you've not only changed your nature, but you predispose the entire world to do the same sin. Kikain Isad Malko Shalom. This is the one who created the world, he's established it. Bahabio Teva Lachobriosov, Lios Tivam, Nishtana, Vinimshach Achamaisa Adam Vehergelo. He has made all of us, yes, we are all lemmings. We all are influenced by others, whether or not we see them or we don't see them. The more people who do Torah and mitzvos, they make it easier for us to do Torah and mitzvos. And the more people who do Averos, make it easier for us for sin. It influences us. Ukefi rov asiyas ha'adam, according to the majority of what people do, ken yishtana teva shel kulam, the entire world will be influenced. Im ma'at ve'im harbe. And then he goes on and specifically says how sometimes it's affected. V'lo b'bad b'briyos ha'chayim, not even talking about human beings, not even talking about animals, afilu b'domimim, even on inanimate object, nasa teva chadosha, it affects them. Ha'gormim l'hashokhin b'tochim li'os lehem netiyah lazeh, it causes the people, very simply, you sin in a particular area, you've affected, you've poisoned that land. when somebody comes onto that land, he's exposed to the poison, and he is poisoned too. That's the Beis Halevi. That's what the Beis Halevi is telling us. Let me give you an example. Take a look at Mar Mokom, number 18. Vayhi kasher hikriv lavo mitzrayma. Vayomer el sora ishto hineno yadati ki isha yifas mara'at. He takes a look and he says to Sarah, I know we've been married for a long time, but you know what? You're pretty good looking. I better lock you up in a trunk because I know this Mitzrayim. What's in it? This is Avraham. This is the Avos. All of a sudden he's looking and he has a new relationship with Sarah. You know why? So I once saw a pshat. I can't remember where I saw it. Because he's coming close to Mitzrayim. That's what the Pasuk says. It's not Stam. He's getting there and he says, oh, I better take care of it. He's getting close to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the makom of Znus. It took the majority of Znus in the world. It's Shtufei Zima. All of a sudden, that land is corrupted. It's emanating out. It's affecting even Avram Avinu as he's getting close. The Gemara asks the question. We know that 9.5 Shvatim got into Eretz Yisrael proper and 2.5 Shvatim were on Eber HaYarden. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. How come 9.5 Shvatim get 3 Ari Miklat, 2.5 Shvatim get 3 Ari Miklat? Doesn't seem particularly fair. Why did 2.5 Shvatim need 3 Ari Miklat? So the Gemara says, Begilad and Eivar HaYarden, Nefishi Rotzchim. There are a lot of murderers. And that's where the Gemara leaves it. So all the Mefarshim say, so what? An Ir Miklat absorbs somebody who is an inadvertent murderer, a shogeg, not a mazid. The fact that there are many murderers is irrelevant because a murderer can't get into an Ir Miklat. So the Maharal, some people interpret it this, some people interpret it differently, some people interpret it, the Maharal this way. The Maharal seems to be saying, and others say it if the Maharal doesn't say it, is that if there are murderers in the land, they have poisoned the land, they have corrupted the land. And therefore, even people who otherwise would have no disposition towards murder, they become inadvertent murderers. Or they're more likely to become inadvertent murderers. It's not just a desensitization to the idea of murder. It's an actual metaphysical change in the nature of the land, in the nature of the land that they find themselves, and therefore it changes them too. Ad kidei kach, how does it go? How far does it go? The Pasuk tells us that the angels came to visit Avram. And they sat down, and Avram runs, and he gets the tongue, and he gets the nice food, and it says, vayochelu, and they ate. Says Rashi, they didn't eat. They may believe that they ate. A few psukim later, they're off to Sodom to visit Lot. Lot prepares a nice meal. And it says, and they ate. And Rashi says, nothing. So says the Paradis Yosef, how come Rashi didn't say anything? Why didn't he say that they didn't eat? Because the angels ate. Angels ate. Angels can't eat. They're spiritual beings. What are they going to be doing eating? They can't possibly eat. Says the Paradis Yosef, I forget who he quotes. He says, that's correct. They were affected. When they were in the presence of Avram and the Kedusha of Avram, they remained spiritual. But when they go to Sodom, when they went to Sodom, they were affected by that, and therefore they lost their spirituality, and in fact they ate. And some explain that that's exactly what we say in the Haggadah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm coming to Mitzrayim to take you out. Ani velo malach. Why didn't they send the malach? Because no malach would have gotten out. Any malach that would have gotten into Mitzrayim at that point, everything had sunk so low would have been corrupted. Because of this, the fact that the actions of the people affect the place, and the place then affects everything that comes into that place. The Rinas Yitzhak, nice sefer on Chumash, explains, says the Pasuk is written incorrectly. Re'ei Anochi, Re'ei is what? Lashon Yachad or Lashon Rabban? Yachad. It doesn't say Re'u. Re'ei. Anochi no same lid. Nechem. So it's wrong. It should be either Re'u, or it should be Lefonecha. What's Pshat? Re'ei Anochi Nosim Lefnechem Hayom Brachu Klala. Says the Rinas Yitzchak, that's right. I am putting before you, all Bracha Klala. But not only as it affects you, but as it affects everybody else. Understand that your Bechira, what you choose, is going to have repercussions and ramifications to the entire world. Re'ei Lefnechem. It affects everybody. And that's the consequences of our choices. And now maybe we have an understanding, says the Beis Halevi, into the Gemara of Chagiga. It says that the tzaddik takes somebody else's share, the Rosh's share in Gan Eden, and the Rosh takes the tzaddik's share in Gehenna. That's not fair. If the tzaddik sinned, he should get some Gehenna. And if the Rosh did some mitzvos, he should get some Gan Eden. Says the Beis Halevi, no! You know why the Rosh did some mitzvos? Because the tzaddik, the pull of the tzaddik, caused him to do it. It was like a magnetic force. It pulled the Mitzrayim, as the Tzaddik does more mitzvos, so it has an effect even on the Rasha. You know what? He'll even daven Shmona Esrei. Okay, but it's not because of him, it's because really of the actions of the Tzaddik. And you know what? The Tzaddik who came to Shul, and he really wanted to be quiet, all of a sudden he finds himself joking around with somebody else? That's not because of him. Yes, we have Bechira. But it's because that Shul was corrupted. That Shul was corrupted by all the other people that was going on. He deserves a Chelik in Gehenna, but you know what? That goes to them, because that's on their cheshbon. And now maybe we understand what Rav Nissim Gaon was telling us. I have to do vidui on myself and kol kahalecha. What am I doing vidui on other people for? Because you have a chelik in their avera. It's not enough for me to go, I'm sorry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I did this. I did this and I caused them to do it too. I have to be misvada on my chet and on the effects of my chet. How it affected others, because we share in the sins of others. Maybe that's what the Pasuk in Koheleth says in Maram Mokum number 19. Sof Dover Akol Nishma, skip to the last line. Ki as kol maisa elokim yavo b'mishpat, al kol ne'elamim tovim ra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, you're going to come up there and there's going to be a din, and you say, okay, the din I understand. What's all this other stuff? The hidden stuff also counts. The things that's away from you, the tov of the rod, if you've influenced people. By the way, clearly, if somebody comes over to me and wants to speak Lashon Hara, you see, and you say, shh. Somebody wants to talk to me in shul. I say, and that elevates the standard. You get a chelik in that too. And all of a sudden, when they open up the rolls, and you're going to see all the rolls, and say, wait, no. Where did this come from? You say, those are the mitzvahs that you created because you had a positive influence on other people. The Gemara in Shabbos, in Maram Mokum number 20. Some of us just recently learned this. Kol misha efshel limchos la'anshei beiso v'lo micha. If a person could have stopped somebody in his family from committing a particular avera, and he did not stop them, nitvas al'anshei beiso. He gets, and Rashi explains, he gets punished for their avera. And then it goes on and says, let's say you're the mayor of a city, and you could have stopped the city from doing a particular avera, and you didn't. Or you're the king of the world, and you could have stopped your Achashverosh, and you could have stopped everybody from doing a particular avera, and you didn't, so you're going to get punished for all of their averas. So the question that we asked when we learned the daf, some of you may remember, is, what avera did this man do? He didn't do the mitzvah of Hocheya Tochia. That's what he should be punished for. But that's not what the Gemara is telling us. He gets punished for that avera. Why is he getting punished for that avera? Because he has a cheshbon in that. Yes, al pi din, the avera was the non-performance of Hocheyach Tochiach, but al pi cheshbon, he's nitvas in that avera. And for example, just to spin it around, the Ben Yoyada clearly says it, and he's going to say it again on the daf that's coming up on Rosh Hashanah. He says, if you give tzedakah to somebody who is going to die, let's assume, he says, even in his days, he didn't have such a situation. Maybe, unfortunately, nowadays, we do. Somebody, if you don't give him food right now, he's just going to expire. Let's say medicine. If a person, you don't give a particular ani, a particular medicine, if he can't afford it, he's just going to die if he doesn't get a particular treatment. And you support him. So then, says the Ben Yoyada, you get a share in everything else that he does for the rest of his life. The Ben Yoyada says, the Gemara says, Shkula tzaka keneged kol mitzvah. Tzaka is equal to every other mitzvah. So he says, no, it isn't. Tzaka is a nice mitzvah, but why do you assume that tzaka equals the other 612 mitzvahs? I did one mitzvah. It's a nice mitzvah, but it doesn't equal the other 612. So he says, that's not what it means. It means tzaka sometimes gives you the potential, by doing the mitzvah tzaka, to get other mitzvahs, even up to the other 612. How? You save somebody's life. When you save somebody's life, so then you get a chelik in every single mitzvah that they do. Because had they died, there would be no performance of mitzvahs. And now you cause them to perform the mitzvahs, so you have a cheshbon, al pi cheshbon, you get a chelik in every single mitzvah. Kiruv. That's what the film is going to be about next week, and was last week. Kiruv. Here's a person, he's going to go out and marry a shiksa. That's it. It's finished. No more children, no more yadas, the flame is extinguished in the next generation. And you bring him back, and he marries a Jewess. And the kids go to yeshiva. And the grandchildren become Rosh Yeshiva. And the great-grandchildren are sitting and learning in Kolo. You have a chelik in every single mitzvah. Every single mitzvah that comes about through this family is attributable to you. Says the Beis HaLevi, Gedola tshuva shebishvil yachad she'asa tshuva, moflin l'kol ha'olam kulo. Tshuva is so great because if you do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives everybody. Why should He forgive everybody? I did tshuva. He says, you know why? Because when you sinned, if you can't, if he doesn't forgive everybody else, you're going to get punished. Because how about, how do you like this? You're a guy, you're sitting in the shir, and you've been doing, you're speaking Lashon Hara all the time. Today you commit yourself, wonderful, I'm not speaking Lashon Hara anymore. The problem is, you've been speaking Lashon Hara for 20 years, you've influenced your family, you've influenced your community, and we see metaphysically you've influenced the world. And al pichesh, when you have a chelik in everybody else's aveira. So go ahead, do tshuva. Whoopie-do. Congratulations. So you get, on the din, the Lashon Hara is gone. But how much al cheshbon do you have in Lashon Hara? The Kaddish Baruch says, you just do tshuva. I'll wipe out all the repercussions and the ramifications. I'll get rid of it. That's the Gevaldige Chesed of a Kaddish Baruch Hu in tshuva. Reuven, at the time of the Mechira, he's missing. He's not there with the other brothers when he was, when Yosef was sold. Where was Reuven? He was doing tshuva. He was doing tshuva. What was he doing tshuva on? The beds. The beds. Now it's time to do tshuva on the beds? What's happening here? And the Medrash says, Reuven is the first to have done tshuva. Not so. Kayin is the first to do tshuva. Even other Marishon didn't know about tshuva until he bumped into Kayin. So how could the Medrash says that Reuven did tshuva? So I saw from one of the Soloveitchiks in Eretz Yisrael, he explained the following. He says that Reuven was the first one to do tshuva on the effects of his actions on others. Kayin did tshuva on his own action. Reuven understood the following. How could it possibly be that the brothers are so insensitive to Yaakov's feelings, that they're going to take Yosef and they're going to take him away from Yaakov? How could they be so cruel and hardened to their own father's feelings? And he realized, you know what? I started it. I was the one. I was the one that flipped my father's beds. I denigrated my father in their eyes. And if I had not done that, maybe nobody would feel that way about Yaakov Avinu. Maybe they would have treated Yaakov with more reverence and more respect and had more consideration for his feelings. Just at the time of the Mechira, Reuven, it dawns on him, he says, oh my gosh, I'm not only chayav for what I did, but I see that this Avera is going to be traced to me too. So he went out and did tshuva. He was the first to do tshuva, not al-pi din, but al-pi cheshvim. With this understanding of din v'cheshvim, a new insight is possible. Take a look at Maror Mokom number 22, please. This is not a chiddush. You know this. Shlosha svarim niftachim b'Rosh Hashanah. Echad shel rishon gemurim ve'echad shel tzadikim gemurim ve'echad shel beinanim. How many books? Three. Take a look at Maror Mokom number 23. We all know, or we will all soon know, that the angels in the Shemayim cannot say Hallel until human beings say Hallel down here on earth. So it's Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and the angels are waiting for us to say Hallel. So they come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they say, Amar Rabbi Yavo, Malachi Asharis Lefnei, Amar Rabbi Yavo, Amar Malachi Asharis Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Mipnei Mayim Yisrael Omrim Shira Lefanecha B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yom Kippurim. How come the Jewish people are not saying Shira on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Amar Lahem, Efshir Malach Yoshev Al Kisei Din, V'Sifrei Chayim, V'Sifrei Mesim, P'suchim Lefanev Yisrael Omrim Shira. Life itself is hanging in the balance. It's not time to sing. Not this happy song. That's the standard interpretation of the Gemara. Reb Chaim of Elojana says, hey, one book is missing. Sifrei Chaim is Sifrei Mesim. How many books are there really? We just said, Shlosha Svarim Niftachim. Sifrei Chaim is the book of Tzadikim. Sifrei Mesim is the book of Risharim. Where's the book of the Beinanim? Where's the book of the Beinanim? Says Reb Chaim of Elojana, you're making a mistake. There are five books. There are three books. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lines them out. Tzadikim, Beinanim, Risharim. And now he says, bring me the ledgers of the people I need to judge. Here's the Sifrei Chaim, all the people who are currently alive. And here the Sifrei Mesim, the people who are no longer alive. So says Reb Chaim of Elojana, wait a second. We know that this world, this life is opportunity for growth, for the performance of mitzvahs and averus. When a person isn't dead, it's over. There's nothing else you can do. There's no more mitzvahs. You can't do anything. So how come a Kadosh Baruch Hu is judging the Mesim? Understand, you take the book of life, you take the Sifrei Chaim, the people who are alive, and then you inscribe them in the appropriate book. But the Sifrei Mesim, they've already been inscribed. They're already in Gan Eden, or not. They're on one level or the other. How could there be a judgment on Rosh Hashanah on them again? So we explained, based upon our understanding of Din V'Cheshbon. Din is on what you did. That terminates with life. At the end of one's life, there's no more din. But then there's a cheshbon. What's the cheshbon? The ramifications of your actions on other people long after you're gone. Those ramifications still play. I know some of you may remember the old pinball machines. You used to put in a dime, and you'd get five balls, and you'd go, and you'd be knocking down things, and after a while you'd lose the ball, and it would go down the side, and you lost the ball. And then, because based upon what you knocked down, all of a sudden, bing, 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 the points would ring up, and then luckily you would hear a knock. If you hear, right? It meant free game. That's what it is. That's what's happening here. Sifri Mesim, because you did something, the ball went down. You can't knock down anything else. But the score keeps on going, because you have children, and you have children's children, and you have friends, and they have friends. And everything that you've done has affected somebody, and those effects go on and on and on. And it doesn't end with life. Because every year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a look and says, let's see the effects. Let's see your effect on all the generations from now on. And every year a person is judged. Today's Gemara, which is pretty scary because I gave this shiur a year ago in a different place. And today's Gemara in the Daf has this story, which is critical to this. Today's Gemara has the famous story of Shaul HaMelech, where he summons up Shmuel HaNavi with the balasol, the sorceress, right? She puts the bone under here, and he pulls up Shmuel. And Shmuel is petrified. And he brings Moshe Rabbeinu, because he thinks he's being summoned to din. He says, Loma hirgaztani, why in the world did you frighten me? Frighten me? Because it's din. He thought he's being done. So he brought Moshe Rabbeinu to attest that he was a nice guy, that he performed Torah and mitzvahs. He's dead. He had his din v'cheshvan. What's happening here? So the explanation is that he understood. He had his din, but he thought it was time again for the cheshvan. And even la'achar misa, he was afraid of the effects of his actions. So therefore he was afraid. And lest you think that this is just some sort of Kabbalistic drush, the Sefer Kovel says, one is not allowed to exhume a body. You're not allowed to move. It's not so poshut to take somebody who's buried here and to move him for no reason, without a very good reason. Why? Because you frighten him, because he thinks he's being summoned to din again. Because the din does not stop after a person goes to the Olam HaEmes. It continues. And this, again, is clearly stated in our tefillos. Take a look in Maror Mokum number 25. Ata zokar masi olam, ufoked hu, kol yitzurei kedem. Not now. The people who from the last generation. Hayom number 26. Hayom haras olam, hayom yamid b'mishpat, kol yitzurei olamim. The people who are alive, and the people who used to be alive. Yom HaKippurim. Why is it called Yom? We have Yisker on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. We all call it Yom Kippur. The Torah calls it Yom HaKippurim. Why does the Torah call it Yom HaKippurim? So says the Mishnah Berurah in Maror Mokum number 28. L'chein nikra Yom HaKippurim b'loshen rabem. Ritzon olomer l'chayim b'lameisim. Now let's go back to that Gemara. Says the Chassam Sofer, interestingly again, on this week's Parsha. He says, we all know, that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when we daven, those who pass to the other world come down and daven with us. So when you're standing in shul, your Zayd is with you. Or your father is with you if he's no longer here. Those people are davening in shul along with you. Their neshamas come down. Some says it's davar pasha. It's a davar pasha. They're all davening. Why are they davening exactly? Because Rosh Hashanah is important to them too. So he says, what does the Gemara mean? The malachim come and they say, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, why aren't Bnei Yisrael singing Shira? Rosh Hashanah is a yontif. So he says, Sifrei Chayim, Sifrei Mesim, Rav Suchan. And we know that even though the neshamas all can daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, however, the pasuk says, Lo Amesim, Yahalalu, Ka. The one thing they can't do is say Shira. Says the Chassam Sofer, since the Mesim who are davening along with us in Shul can't sing Shira, say Hallel, we don't say Hallel, because it's Tasnish to do. It's unfair to say Hallel when they're not there. That's what the Gemara says. How come Bnei Yisrael aren't saying Shira? Because the Sifrei Chaim and the Sifrei Mesim are there, since the Mesim are being judged on their cheshvan, on everybody else's actions, and Mesim can't say Hallel. That's the pshat in the Gemara. That's why we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. This explains clearly, hopefully, the order of the din v'cheshvan. Why shouldn't it be cheshbon v'din? No, the din is a judgment on what you did, and the cheshbon continues forever. Of course the order is correct. Din is on what you did. And l'achar me'ayav esrim shana, a person's going to go up and he's going to have a din. But the cheshbon is going to be annual. It's going to go on forever and ever. That's why the order of din v'cheshbon is correct. And now we can go back and answer those few remaining questions. We said, we said if somebody doesn't have children, and we thought the pshat was children who will inherit from the father and mother, so then Hashem is angry at them. Hashem, they didn't have children because you didn't give them children. He says, no, we're not talking about people who didn't have children. We're talking about people who had children. But Leyorsho doesn't mean that you have children that will inherit from you. But we're talking about you didn't fulfill your parental duties. You weren't mechanech your children on the correct derech. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at you because if you didn't leave children, Leyorsho, from whom you can inherit. How can you inherit? When you're in the Olam HaEmes, their actions can, you can inherit from them. They can elevate you to a higher plateau. If you didn't fulfill your parental duties, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at you because then you left over children from whom you cannot inherit. And if you actually go back afterwards, if you take the Ma'ar Makotlos and you look, it says, David, Shehiniach, Ben Kamoso, Nemrubo, Shchiva. Yoav, Shelohiniach, Ben Kamoso, Nemrubo, Misa. When David died, he had good children. So he's not called dead. He's called resting. Why? Because you rest, you get up, and you move. David is dead, but he's not really dead because his children can elevate him. Yoav didn't leave children over who will elevate him, and therefore the cheshbon of his actions will never elevate him. He's dead. By him it's written Misa. That's what we know, that the son's mitzvah count for David's future growth, and this is really the concept of bra mizaka abba, that the schusim of the son, of the children, will count for the parents. And this is also bra, the concept, which is not really a gemara, but it's a statement, bra kara da avua. We know that when somebody dies, so then they're considered an omed, like a malach is considered an omed. You can't climb the spiritual ladder anymore. You can't climb anymore because you're frozen. You can't do more mitzvahs. However, you have another pair of legs. Who are the legs? Your children. Bra kara da avua. The children perform the mitzvahs. They elevate the parents. They can push them up. That's what the yahrzeit is about. That's what the Rosh Hashanah is about. The cheshbon, to see the actions of the children, to see if they're going on the right derech, because that will help the father climb the spiritual ladder and get to a higher madrega. In sum, we saw two dramatically different understandings of what din v'cheshbon is. That of the gra. Din is on what you did, and cheshbon is the judgment on what you could have done. We explained that the cheshbon does not merely look to what you could have done at that moment, but it's also a judgment of the person as he is versus the heavenly vision of the person. In other words, realization of potential. We saw that when Hashem gives us the opportunity to tshuva, we must avail ourselves of that opportunity, because not doing so magnifies the aveira to a greater extent, and there's nothing that you could do to balance the scales in your favor. We also saw the interpretation of the Beis Halevi. Din is on what you did, and cheshbon is on your effect on others. We saw that one's effect on others can be direct, speaking Lashon Hara, indirect, sensitizing the community, or metaphysical. It's going to affect more than the people who see you. This explained why the tzaddik gets the Rosh Hashanah in Gan Eden, why vidui can include the averis of others. We also saw that the cheshbon continues for those who've died, which is reflected in our tefillos and yamim naran. We explained that the means by which one can elevate the soul of a niftar. In sum, hopefully we walk away with an understanding how precise HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment is. And we understand the ramifications and the repercussions of every action, every inaction, every thought, and every word that we have. All of this is brought to din. And you should be absolutely frightened. That's why Chazal talk about Emas HaDin. Because they understood the scope of Hashem's judgment. They understood the consequences of man's actions. Fear has one of two reactions. Fear can immobilize you. You can become frozen with fear. We don't have that luxury. Fear can also energize. It can cause the adrenaline to flow. Emes HaDin must motivate us to prepare for Din. But there are only 2 days left. Brilliant legal defenses have been prepared in less than 2 days. But there's good news and bad news. The bad news is that the judge can't be calmed. He can't be fooled by a lawyer's manipulation of facts or sophistry, silver tongue. But the good news is that the judge is your father. wants to find you innocent, wants you to win the case, and more importantly, told you what to do and how to prepare your case. Tshuva. Just commit to be better and regret the past. That's all you have to do, especially on Rosh Hashanah. It's all about commitment. If we do tshuva, Hashem will erase all the past sins and their ramifications and their repercussions. Hashem will allow the tshuva not to affect only our din, but our cheshbon as well. And the news is even better. Because as we appreciate how bad the effects of our actions are, and that Hashem still wants to erase them, we should be inspired to feel a heightened sense of love for Hashem and build a closer relationship with Hashem. And maybe then our tshuva becomes a tshuva of Ava, which means that all our actions and their effects turned into zechuyos. This is the opportunity of Rosh Hashanah. Rav Nevensol, in his Sefer on Rosh Hashanah, compares, really contrasts the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He uses a mashal of a person who needs to destroy a building that he had built. He says there really are two ways of doing it. You can grab a sledgehammer and attack it brick by brick by brick. Or you can get a structural engineer and determine where best to place a small bomb near the foundation and just watch the whole building implode. We've all seen that, right? The old days when they blow down the buildings, blow up the buildings. On Yom Kippur, we attack our building, our false world, the building that we had built, brick by brick. Al-Chet Shechatanu, Avera by Avera, brick by brick. But on Rosh Hashanah, when we commit ourselves to Hashem, to His mitzvos, to His service, to His kingdom, then it's a whole different form of tshuva. By this, we destroy all at once the false world that we have created. Everything implodes and is destroyed. That's the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. And if our understanding of Hashem's kindness and wiping away our past and its effects on others inspires you to that newer, close relationship with Hashem, Hashem takes all that rubble and builds a new beautiful building in its place. Nasalo kizachios. And if enough of us avail ourselves of the opportunity of Rosh Hashanah to destroy our old flawed buildings and rebuild them with beautiful new buildings, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will build the most beautiful building of all, the Beis HaMikdash, in this coming year. And more than any other community that I can think of, we understand just how important that is. Ksiva v'chasima tova.
Not right now, because a lot of people, I got to collect checks. Okay, talk afterwards.